Hey everybody, welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Rob.
And I'm Chris.
So today we want to try something a little bit different. We got a lot of good feedback on, a few weeks ago we did a cast where we did no show notes. It was kind of laid back and relaxed, and we got a lot of positive feedback on that. So I think what we're going to try to do moving forward is our first segment now is going to be sort of a what we did this week, news, a little more open banter, kind of figure out what we want to talk about and go from there. We've got some points here we'll go over. So we're going to open with that, and then after the break, we're going to come back and talk a little bit about Standard. We got a lot of big tournaments coming up for Standard, so what we see going on in the metagame, what shifts we see, things like that. So, all right, guys, what have you guys been up to this week?
Mainly been playing Magic Online. Definitely got a lot heavier in it. People may have seen I've posted two videos so far of me playing Rugged Infect, and they need to stay tuned because there's going to be other variants of Infect because of the meta on Magic Online, and nice. Also getting into Standard with Tamur Black.
Nice, very cool. Yeah, what about you, Chris?
We got to go and play the Modern Night Magic, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah, we've had, like, it's been nice in this area because we've seen Modern becoming more and more popular. I mean, our events used to be, like, they might fire, they might not. It seems like we fire with at least six people every week now.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool, yeah. And we've seen, like, a nice mix of crowd, too. I mean, it's definitely, Modern's getting more and more popular. But, I mean, we went out there, I just put Infect together in paper, so I was trying that out. It went okay.
Yeah, no, it's definitely one of those, you know, hit or miss. And I've been seeing that playing your blue-green list on Magic Online, too. It's, yeah, well, when it's, the hands are good, they're great. But when they're not, it's miserable.
Well, it's also, man, I've had a blast playing it because you think of, like, I get now why people call it a combo deck. Because looking at it as an aggro deck is probably just strictly wrong. I used to think of it kind of as combo aggro. Now I'm pretty much on the, yeah, it's just combo. Because, I mean, I've noticed myself kind of playing more cautiously if I have protection in hand, kind of playing the infect creature a turn or two later to make sure I can leave out protection. I mean, just the interaction with trying to read your opponent what they have. Plus, like for me as a control player, it's probably been 6 months, a year since I've had to do like combat math or figure out how to attack through creatures and stuff like that. So that's been kind of a nice change. But yeah, let's go through some of these news items we got. Let's see. So first up here, we have the suspension of Gerard Fabiano. For listeners who aren't familiar, Fabiano, I mean, he's a big name in Magic. He's got Pro Tour appearances. He's got Star City Game open top eights and wins. I mean, GP top eight appearances. Like,
he's a quality player.
Yeah. Pretty much any big accolade, he's got it or he's come close to it. So, I mean, and he's been playing for a very long time. So, his suspension, though, I mean, it's interesting because Wizards has a policy that when they release these, you know, they release a list of suspended players, they update the list, but they don't really tell you why. And this has caused a lot of, like, banter in the Magic community because no one's really sure exactly what he did. There are a lot of rumors that popped up. There are a lot of he says, she says kind of things, but no real confirmations. And I just kind of want to get your guys' thoughts on this because, I mean, I can see both sides. I mean, how do you feel about them not telling us what he did?
I have no problems with the list, the initial ban list, not saying this player and this is what he did. But like we were talking, what I do want is, all right, here's a player ban list. All right, now here's another list in no particular order. It can be randomly generated. These are the items that happen for the new updates to the ban list, because I think as a player, I should be informed on what the latest cheat is.
Yeah.
You know, what are people doing to get suspended? If arguing with a judge got you suspended, all right.
We don't really need to know that. Yeah, that doesn't really affect us.
Like, yeah, but just, hey, a certain player argued with a judge. Okay, note to self, don't argue with the judge.
Right, yeah.
You know, or if this week someone got caught cupping cards again. All right. Hey, he was caught, you know, not giving a 60 card deck.
Representing 53, yeah.
But he had two of them in his notepad or his score pad. Okay, well, that's something to look for. Are they keeping their score pad down on their thigh? You know, just something to keep us informed as players.
Yeah, the shuffling, too. That was a huge one. The guy that was shuffling, and then he would look as he riffled, and he would put non-land cards up top. That's a big thing now. That impacts how you shuffle a deck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That was was that a year ago already?
Yeah, that was about a year ago.
So for anyone who, I'm sure this is still floating around, but essentially the cheat was like, as a player would shuffle, he would kind of glance down and he would notice what the bottom card of the deck was, and then he would riffle that towards the top. So, I mean, you think about like Modern and Legacy where you're shuffling every time you fetch, every time you look. So his opponent would fetch out a land, shuffle his deck, give it to his opponent. He would shuffle it up and put either a land or a non-land on top, depending on if they're flooding or had, you know, mana issues. And I mean, he was winning stuff left and right. They caught this guy on camera. So, I mean, but like going back to Chris's point, I think that's a good call, because we do need to know if people are cheating and if there's a new thing that people have come up with or what they're doing. Yeah, I mean, as a community, we need to know about these things so we can keep an eye out on them.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear it through, you know, second or third hand from the forums. Right. I want Wizards of the Coast to step up and say, this is what we're noticing in the community. This is what needs to stop. This is not in line with our rules.
Yeah.
That way it's firsthand.
Yeah, I mean, because just off of this Fabiano suspension, I've seen there's been multiple Reddit threads about it. And on those threads, I've read maybe 5 different reasons people are saying why he's been suspended. Obviously, he didn't do all of these things because he only got like 6 months.
Yeah.
He'd be banned forever if he did everything people are accusing him of. So like on one hand, I get where you want to protect people and not make public what they did to get suspended. But on the other hand, like he got 6 months. That's a pretty light punishment. So I can only imagine that it wasn't that serious.
Right.
So there's no way that it was any of these crazy things. So they may have done more harm to him by not telling what it was than what it actually was.
Yeah, because nothing's worse than a speculative community, and especially one that's already kind of on edge with cheaters and that, because you're playing for money. You're playing for an actual prize.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a lot on the line, and like, it's, yeah, you need to know what the cheats are, but at the same time, you don't want to let someone who has a high-profile name like that, you don't want to let their name just kind of be tarnished with this question mark hanging over it. And I'm kind of surprised, like, and maybe I missed it, but on Twitter and everything, I haven't seen anything from Fabiano that said what he did. He hasn't really given his side.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, we've had this situation a lot with pro players in the past. I mean, I think that there needs to be some type of asterisk for... We don't have to deal with it, luckily, that much, but like violent crimes, if someone gets mad and hits their opponent or attacks someone, beats up the hot dog vendor or something for whatever reason, they didn't have relish, I don't know. We need to know that, I think. We should probably put that by their name. But
yeah.
But, you know, it's a debate that's been going on for a while, and I mean, overall, I think Magic is in the right, Wizards rather is in the right, but I would kind of want to know, like, what did Fabiano do? Let's clear this up.
Yeah, yeah. Just with the high profile next to his name, like you said, it really surprised me he hasn't come out to defend his name.
Yeah,
of,
yeah.
All right, no, I didn't kidnap someone.
Right.
Didn't
beat anybody up behind Denny's.
This is what I did. But if he wants to keep it to himself, I guess that's his right.
I mean, and he might after some time goes. I'm sure when this first comes out, your first instinct is to just blast everybody around you and be super negative. So I get why you'd want to hold out. But all right, let's get on down this list, something a little cheerier. So they released the 2016 GP promo. For everyone who hasn't attended a GP, they usually give out some... It's a card that sometimes it's the same art as the original, sometimes it's a new art, but it's always a foil version of a Modern or Legacy, like an Eternal playable card. And they announced the 2016 promo is going to be Stoneforge Mystic. So that's a pretty cool one. I mean, that's a very high Legacy playable card. It's one that got banned in Standard, and it's banned in Modern as well. So Legacy is the only place you can play it in, like, Stoneblade-type decks. But no, I mean, it's a pretty... What were Stoneforges at right now? Like, 30-ish?
Somewhere around, I think, 30 to 40.
I guess. Yeah, I haven't really shopped for them in a long time. But yeah, so somewhere 30 to 40. GP promos, they bring the price down pretty good. I mean, for every card that's been, because every single person that attends a GP gets a copy, so that's a pretty huge amount of copies going out into the wild. You guys have thoughts on this? You happy about Stoneforge Mystic?
Any different? Stoneforge Mystics, I think it's fine. I would have rather have seen like the Snapcaster Mage, but they're doing that for the area,
for the RPTQs,
RPTQs. To me, and we talked about this, what's weird is they're picking what's conditionally a Legacy playable card for a format that's not supported as much now.
Yeah. Yeah, Alex shot down my theory pretty quick when I was talking to him about it, but I thought it was interesting. I kind of jokingly said, does this mean that we're going to see an unbanning of Stoneforge in Modern? I think there's good arguments for it. We got a ban list coming up shortly, so it could be on there. I mean, but it is weird to see a promo for an event where, like, how many, I don't know if we have the number available, but how many Legacy GPs are there in 2016?
I don't know right off hand.
Yeah, Rob, see if you can pull that up. We'll keep chit-chatting here, but see if we can get that number. Because I would be interested to see, because it can't be that many.
The last promo was Grizzlebrand, which Modern's playing.
Yeah, he shows up in Grishelshoel.
Grishelshoel, you know, all the little reanimator decks are cheating with him. It's an awesome card.
Now, he is mostly a Legacy card, but yeah, there is Modern opportunity there. Plus, this is the first set of GPs since they've shown such a heavy push towards Modern. I mean, so that's what surprised me the most is that they're moving away from Legacy, yet they're still giving away a Legacy promo card.
Yeah.
Plus, I think Culligan's Command, I mean, if you look at the Modern meta over the past 6 months or so, Culligan's Command is huge right now.
Yeah.
You see Culligan's Command everywhere. So if you think about, you know, Stoneforge, for players who haven't played Legacy or haven't played with it in Standard in the past or what have you, it's a 2-drop that comes down and you search up an artifact card that you can, then it has an ability to pay 2 and play it straight from your hand onto the battlefield. So you can cheat in really powerful artifacts. You can tutor them up. It's a pretty good card. And I mean, it's one that's affected sort of by the cards that are around it. You see it with Omazawa's Jit a lot in Legacy.
Batterskull,
which would probably be its main target in Modern. But you think about Culligan's Command, you can blow up an artifact and deal 2 or 3 damage to a creature. So you can kill the Mystic and blow up whatever it tutored out with one card. Like, that's a pretty good answer for it. It should keep it in check pretty well. And I mean, it's not, I don't think it's going to be, I don't think it would be a huge deal in Modern. I mean, I may be horribly wrong. I'll admit that entirely. Maybe I'm completely missing something. I think the meta would have to adjust to it, but I don't think it's entirely unfeasible that it, you know, would be unbanned in Modern.
I got the numbers. There are 3 Legacy GPs slated for 2016.
Yeah, see, so that's like,
yeah.
And we already know Wizards has made it pretty clear in the past, like, they're not interested really in bringing up the Legacy crowd.
No.
So I'm not really sure what their end game is with picking this card. I mean, maybe we're just looking into it way deeper than anybody should, and it's just, I mean, they do have a record of they're not going to pick, like, the most playable card in Modern, like Snapcaster. I don't think we'd ever see.
Well, an interesting thing with Grizzlebrand. So, right around the time they announced that Grizzlebrand was going to be the GP promo for 2015, I was building up Sneak and Show for Legacy, which runs 4 copies of Grizzlebrand.
Right.
At that time, he was going for about $80. Yeah. And then they made the announcement, and a couple weeks later, I'm buying up cards in that, and I go on Amazon, and they're like, hey, Grizzlebrand, 75% off. I'm like, what? And then I looked at TCG Mid. No, he actually dropped from 80 down to about 20 to 25 afterwards. Stoneforge Mystic is currently at about 22 also.
Yep. So, and like I said, I swear the last time I was looking around at like Esper Deathblade or whatever, it was at 30, 35. I mean,
yeah, it's been a slow downhill since the middle of the year.
Yeah, you're pretty much, I mean, these GP promos, you are trashing a card's price. I mean, they just plummet because everyone that goes gets one. And I mean, GPs have huge attendance for seeing thousands at each one. So, yeah,
figure at least 2,000, 2,500 people.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you get, and every GP has
every single one. And since it's, the other thing is, like, since they're such niche cards, like, I mean, niche might be the wrong word, but most people that receive this card are just going to flip it immediately.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's going in trade binders. It's going up for sale. It's going on Puka Trade, whatever. But most people that get this aren't actually going to want to play it. So, yeah, of course it's going to trash a price. I mean, but so that, like, the notable thing, though, is it's a different art. It looks nice. I like it a lot. The new art's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
they do look good. The Grizzlebrand I got, I think it looks all right.
Yeah, I want those.
Yeah, yeah, they do a good job with them. I mean, it's cool. It's a nice thing. I wish that Star City Games could do something similar. I'd like that more than the playmat, I think, having something, some type of card. I mean, obviously, they're not Wizards, so they can't do that.
Yeah, but the thing is, they've already come out and said that the creature spoofs are doing really well, so they're going to stick with it. So,
listeners, stop buying that stuff.
Please.
Yeah. We don't want any more of that. I don't want Tassiper or whatever the thing is that they're doing now. that we've already talked to links and links on that. So
don't need to bring that up.
So let's continue on down our list of news here. So we also have the 2015 World Magic Cup is coming up. That's going to be next weekend. So this episode comes out on Wednesday. This will be the Friday and Saturday and Sunday after this episode comes out. So definitely keep an eye on that. Yeah, December 11th is the start date. It's a pretty wacky format. Did you guys catch it last year at all? Did you watch it for the World Magic Cup?
No, I didn't have a chance to.
No, I didn't get a chance to watch it.
I kind of flipped in and out because it's more of a fun event, I would say, than like a series. I mean, you'll see some really good plays. You'll see some great lines of play. You'll see some amazing players representing their countries. But the format is team sealed and then unified team standard. So you're not going to get much as far as like new tricks and tips for standard unified. We'll talk about unified standard in a second, but that's a very different format than regular standard. So it's more of I like to watch it just as like a relax, hang out, throw it on TV and just see what these guys come up with. I mean, this year's will be particularly exciting with our standard format versus what we'll see with unified standard. So that'll be cool. But so essentially, though, what you're looking at is you have teams representing 73 different countries. They're all four-player teams. Wizards has a breakdown of what you have to do to be on these teams, but it's usually like the top-level pro for each country. Then there's four different ways. I didn't jot them all down here, but they're all pretty high-level ways to get invited to this. So, I mean, you're seeing all pretty top-tier players. But yeah, I mean, so they'll be playing all weekend. They'll be in Barcelona, so that kind of messes up the time for us here. I think it starts at like 4 a.m. on Friday. I should have checked. I don't know if that's 4 a.m. Friday morning or 4 a.m. Saturday morning, but it's going to be kind of wonky. You're probably not going to be able to watch a lot of it, but you know, if you're bored hanging out, flip it on Twitch and see what they're doing.
Twitch is good with doing the replays too later in the day for that because they understand. I want to say your time is right for the time zone shift because it's a 3-day event.
Yeah.
So it would be starting probably 4 a.m. Friday. Morning, yeah. So I'll be able to catch that as I'm about ready to go to bed after work if I'm still in shift work.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that means that maybe they'll be well into it by the time people are waking up Friday. If you work an office job, you can throw it up while you work. I mean, yeah. Who knows? But yeah, so unified team standard is any unified constructed event is essentially if we have a team of four people. When we're building our standard decks, deck construction is the same as always with the new caveat of we cannot have more than four copies of a non-basic land card between the team. So if I choose to run four Jace in my deck, no one else on my team can play Jace. Great. We can each play one, two can play two. You know, you can split it up however you want, but it's kind of cool because this is a totally off-the-wall, like, I like scenarios like this where pro players have to build decks in basically a vacuum. Like, no one's building decks like this. There aren't many unified events, so they have nothing to look at to see what they should do. So, good luck, you know? Like, they just kind of go into there and get to work. So, I'm sure they've all been working on this already, and they still will be. But with this standard format, it should be cool because we see so many big, like, high-impact, powerful cards that so many decks are built around, like with decks running Jace and Gideon. You know, Hangerback Walker's kind of disappeared a little bit. He's still floating around, but I noticed the price has come down quite a bit.
But look at the other side, too. Does that include fetch lands?
Yes.
Yeah. Does that include the Tango lands? Yep. So now you're looking at, if you need to mana fix, you can only have four of one type of fetch in there. You're going to have to start sharing. It's going to be neat to watch.
Someone's going to have four of Evolving Wild. I know it.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see some Evolving Wilds. We'll see some goofy stuff. I mean, we may see a monocolored deck. Who knows? Maybe. Just to keep things a little simpler. Because, yeah, I mean, between all the Tangos and all the fetches, like, most decks are running two or three different fetch lands or two or three different Tangos. So, good luck. Like, this will be a really cool one. I think you'll definitely see some matches decided simply by deck construction. Just, yep. You know, someone came up with a better way to split the lands up or split the cards up.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, because, like, in the past, like during Theros RTR standard, you had Mono Black Devotion. Night Vale Spectre was the only card it shared with Mono Blue. Nykthos, I guess, too, but that's a pretty easy one to split. But you saw a lot of decks that didn't share a lot of cards, so, like, you kind of weakened a few of them a little bit, but that was about it. Whereas this one, like, you're almost going from the ground up again because some decks have to be completely retooled to make it, you know, within this criteria. So, yeah, so, I mean, that'll be pretty cool to see. We'll see what comes of that. Going down the list. Let's see. So next we have
LSV's Modern Bring to Light Gifts list. Yeah. This looks incredible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Credit to Alex for popping this in the chat. LSV posted an article where he's got like a deck tech video, and then it's like standard MTGO. He shows the deck, and then he does, is it three rounds he has up there? I can't remember. It's three or four rounds, but he just takes it online on MTGO and jams some games with it.
It was Modern League.
Oh, was it League? Okay.
I'm pretty sure he was playing Modern League.
Yeah, but it's a pretty sweet list. You got a chance to watch some, right, Chris?
Yeah, I watched, I think, the first two or three matches, and I like the Gifts deck to begin with, and the Bring to Light really helps it. Now, the only thing looking at it is, to me, it just seemed like he had really good draws each time. There was one, he was kind of on the wall, you know, and he's like, oh, if I get this, I'm good. And he got another card that was like just as good. I think it was, he ended up getting Maelstrom Pulse or something. And was like, oh yeah, that's a good card too, if not better, with two Wild Nacatls on board. But it seems very viable now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like, it's a value deck. Lots of one-offs, lots of, I mean, it takes the Gifts control package and kind of extends it because it's five colors. The splash of red is just for a sideboard card, but it's a sweet deck. Like, it's running Birds of Paradise and Sylvan Caryatids to try to mana fix and everything. And then it's running, like, because of the Gifts package, you can't get cards with the same name. So it's running, like, Maelstrom Pulse and Path to Exile and
Abrupt Decay.
Abrupt Decays, which, I mean, those are all really powerful.
Sultai Charm, rules. Raven's Crime.
Oh, yeah, Sultai Charm. Damnation. Yeah, Damnation, some Lily of the Veils.
Yep, this is this is almost like a legacy list with the number of one-ofs in this. There's 13 different sideboard cards.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, that, and that's typical for a Gifts deck, but then when you extend to four colors now, you get even more play with that. And yeah, it's got, you know, the loop of Raven's Crime with, you know, Tech Edge or Ghost Quarter, because it runs both of those, of course. Somehow in a five-color deck, he's got Ghost Quarter and Tech Edge in there. And it runs the loop with Life from the Loom, so you can keep blowing up or keep retracing Raven's Crime to make them discard cards to, you know, rip their hand apart. And I mean, it's got the standard Gifts package into like Iona and Unburial Rites, or into Elesh Norn and Unburial Rites. I mean, it has an answer for pretty much every deck in the format.
The neatest thing I saw him do, though, was against the aggro deck, and he was using Unburial Rites on Thragtusk.
Yes.
And he got to do it like three times, and it's like, this doesn't even seem fair.
Yeah, yeah. He was casting Thragtusks. I mean, he ramped into like a turn three Thragtusk. Drew another Thragtusk, played it. The first one had died, and he had naturally drawn the Unburial Rites. So he Unburial Rites the Thragtusk, and then flashes back Unburial Rites to the Thragtusk. I mean, yeah, it was pretty brutal. He was able to trade and like take all the aggro players' creatures off the board. I think he was over 20 life at one point.
He gets to get all the little Thragtusk tokens.
All the token, all the beasts are hanging out. Yeah, no, and that was one where he was stuck on like two lands, I want to say, too.
Yeah, because he had the birds and the Caryatids to help level it all out. It was neat to watch.
He cast more Thragtusk than he played lands that game, and he won. I mean, like, it was, yeah, it's an interesting deck. I mean, it's one where like tons of lines of play. I mean, I don't think I'm tons of cards away from this list, so it's definitely one that I'm looking at throwing together to try out, because it's pretty sweet. And I mean, LSV, when he comes out with the deck, man, like, it's good to listen.
Oh yeah, yeah. Definitely keep an eye out. I do want to talk about that one of red sideboard card, Crumble to Dust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is becoming, from what I've seen playing Infect, one of the guaranteed sideboard cards you should expect to see as an Infect player if you're going against red, because it kills Ink Moth Nexus so horribly bad, because that's an issue a lot of decks have. They don't have an answer for Ink Moth Nexus.
Yeah.
Because by the time you're firing it up, generally you have the protection of Vines or Apostle's Blessing. This right here goes around it and they're like, hey, let's just get rid of all four. So you've lost four mana, you've lost four of your creatures, and it's a card to keep an eye on, I think, in Modern. I think it's going to become bigger and bigger as more people see how good it is against Infect and other decks too, because it's a non-basic land.
Yeah, I mean, Tron.
Yeah, Tron, it's going to cripple Tron.
Yeah, yeah, it shuts them off Tron for the rest of the game, really. I mean, yeah, it's seeing more and more sideboard play. It's seeing more and more play in general. So, I mean, is it a common, uncommon? Do you know?
I believe
it's fine.
No, I don't know.
Because, yeah, because I don't think it's a rare, though, is the point I was trying to get at. So, I mean, you're not going to see any price issue here on this card, but it's popping around. It's one that, like, when I go through standard sets, I kind of like to mark certain cards as, like, eternal format playable, modern playable, things like that, and stick them aside. So it's one to stick in the box to keep after rotation and keep an eye on out because, yeah, I think that thing's here to stay in modern.
Sorry, it's a U, uncommon.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure what Rob was trying to handle here. I appreciate trying to be sneaky. Yeah. But yeah. So it's an uncommon card. So there's going to be plenty of them out floating around. But all right. So that brings us to our last item on the news list. And that is the increase in black and white tokens in modern.
And there's been a lot of articles about this. Josh Cho had an article. Jerry Thompson had an article. There's a lot of lists going around right now. And Jerry Thompson and Josh Cho are both really good players to keep an eye out on when it comes to it because they're both Pro Tour competitors. They're both very big in the Star City scene. And the article that I've most recently read from Jerry Thompson just talks about how great it is. And yeah, going through the list, I make a whole bunch of noise. Going through the list, it's a great list.
We gotta take all the toys from Rob. He's making tons of noise over there. But yeah, I mean, it's a deck that's always kind of been fringe. It's always kind of been tier two. It's always been on the sidelines, but like it pops up from time to time. Event here and there, you'll see it pop up in the top eight, but it's popped up in two or three top eights recently, and now we're seeing a lot of articles. And yeah, like Rob mentioned, Josh Cho, his article that he had about, Josh Cho is a former Pro Tour competitor that was out of the scene for a while, and he actually is back in it now with a good finish at GP Pro Pittsburgh, yep. Yeah. So the Pittsburgh GP with black and white tokens. So we'll link to his article if you're interested in this deck. It's a pretty sweet deck. Alex was actually toying around with it. For me, that's a huge red flag. When Alex picks up a modern deck, I'm like, all right, this is a good sign. This thing looks serious then. So with meta shifts, the deck has gotten a little bit better with card selection. Like Gideon, the new Gideon is popping up in these lists a lot.
Gideon just... With the Gideon Sorin, because Sorin's new, relatively, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, Sorin Solemn Visitor.
Now you have the potential, if you only have those two and you don't have any of the enchantments that pump them, that essentially every one of your little tokens is a three-powered lifelink.
Yeah, just and, between those two.
And you're not going to want to sit there and block that the whole time.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're flying. I think most of them are flying, so you're going over the top.
Yeah, I mean, your main ones are Lingering Souls and then Spectral Procession, which both make flyers.
Yep, and this one also runs Bitter Blossom.
Yeah. Bitter Blossom is pretty consistent across the board. The Michael Majors list didn't run it, but aside from his list, I think almost every list runs as a four of now. So, I mean, with Bitter Blossom was unbanned, so the deck saw an uptick then. Solemn Visitor was printed in Cons.
Yes.
So then we saw an uptick in that. He became a four of in most lists. And now Gideon is popping in these lists too. And he's seeing it play as like a two or three of. And it looks like now it's usually a split with Sorin and Gideon, like two of each, one Sorin, three Gideon, you know, one of those splits. So, I mean, the deck just keeps getting things printed for it. And I mean, it's a solid deck. I've always liked it. I like anything that can attack the hand. I think the not the Cho list, but the recent top eight list was running like seven hand disruption spells in the main, three Thought Season, four Inquisition. And then you're seeing Duresses played out of the sideboard too. So, I mean, that's seriously like they're going after your hand. You're not going to have any cards. Then they play a few value cards, get a few tokens out, and just beat you to death with them. So, I mean, it's always been a sweet deck. It's always been a good list. And, I mean, you can even look at the modern event deck that they came out a few years ago. That's black, white. It's not going to be anything really comparable, but it's going to get you some of the cards out of it. And it's not bad. It's not horrible. It's got the Path to Exiles. It's got the Inquisitions in there.
They said it was a decent deck for being in an event deck.
Yeah.
It was a decent deck coming out.
The biggest problem that people always had with it before was that you could upgrade it to black-white tokens, but it was kind of a tier 2 deck. So you buy a modern event deck, upgrade it to a tier 2 deck. That's not great value. But now as this deck's getting better and better, I mean, it only makes that event deck better and better, and usually they're on sale for pretty cheap, so... But all right, we are going pretty long here, so this was a good success with the news. Definitely feedback on this section if you guys liked it. I mean, this is kind of a change of pace for us, but it's all the feedback we've gotten so far seems to look at like this is what people want, something like this. I think it's gone well. So
I think this is going to help us reach your more experienced players too. Yeah. We've done a lot with helping your guy, the guys out there that are just getting into it and everything else. And now we want you to grow. We want you to become more than just a great FNM player. We want to see you at Opens. We want to see you at the IQs grinding it out with us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we are trying to make a push towards more competitive information. I mean, I know for some players, a lot of it already has been, but we're really going to take it up to the next level here. So any feedback on this section you got is definitely appreciated. But all right, we're going to get out of this section. We'll be right back. Hey, all right, welcome back, everybody. So now we are going to change it up a little bit. I know we have been ignoring standard. We've been putting standard in the corner a lot lately. So we wanted to take some time to talk about like what we see going on, the changes we see in the metagame, just sort of an outside looking in impression of standard and what we've got going on. So who wants to kick this off?
I got this. So I've been keeping an eye on standard because I know it's a format that we cannot avoid being a competitive Magic player. You can hone in on modern or legacy or whatever format you want to do. But if you want to be competitive, you need to be well-rounded into three big ones: standard, modern, and legacy. And so I figured we could check out standard's performance throughout the last month, throughout the month of November, because it's changed a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At the beginning, we saw Megamorph was a massive deck. It was everywhere. Green, white, Megamorph, Bant Megamorph. But then in December, it's dropped off. Green, white Megamorph hasn't seen a top eight since regionals in the Pro Tour. And Bant Megamorph has only seen one top eight in the last month. And we've talked, top eight really doesn't mean much. It could still be there, but there are other decks out there that people have been able to hone and beat it.
Right.
And those big decks, Abzan's back. And then we've also seen the rise of Atarka Red. We saw Jeskai Black come, and then it's kind of dying off also.
So real quick, this Abzan deck, the Abzan aggro deck still?
Yep, Abzan aggro and Abzan blue also.
Okay, so is it still sort of like the old Abzan blue where they're just splashing for like counter magic out the side? Or
yes, yeah. Okay. Still the same thing. And if you remember back to the Philadelphia Standard Open, there were 9 top 32s, 3 of which were in the top 4.
For
Abzan aggro. Abzan was all top 4. The other one was Abzan blue.
Yeah, so I mean, that's it. Abzan's funny because it's good in modern. It's good in standard now. It's been good in standard for a long time. I mean, that's just a good color combination. But no, it's interesting to see these decks kind of come in and out. I mean, this green-white Megamorph deck, I know it hasn't seen a top 8, but is it still floating around top 16, top 32?
Top 16, top 32. You can still see a few, but it's less than 25%.
But that's a good point that you made, though, that it's really, I mean, that's what we're looking at. When you see a deck that spikes like that in the top 8 and then starts to get declined and knocked out of top 8, that's usually what it is the top players, the good players have all shifted their sideboards or their main decks a little bit to answer this strategy. So you're seeing more and more sideboard answers to this deck. So the result of that is once they get to the top tables, they get knocked out of the top tables also. Yep.
Yeah, I think really the biggest thing was, you know, they were the decks to hate. Yes. Just like how Abzan was the deck to hate before Battle for Zendikar came out. And Control was really just nobody wanted to see Control after Theros and Return to Ravnica Standard. Sorry, yeah. Bobby. No one wanted it. but no, that's just, I think that's how it is. And the hate that came out of it was not just targeted at your Megamorph decks. I think it was targeted at your other decks too. And it was a really well-rounded development to kind of get Megamorph out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a very long game deck. It's centered towards a long game, so you really do have to find answers to the things the deck is doing. I mean, so you said Bant Megamorph showed up at a top 8. Do you know what event that was?
No, I don't.
Okay, but it's only seen one in the last month, so I mean, we are definitely seeing a downtick in that. Do you think that moving forward, we're going to see the hate sort of die down for these decks?
I think so. As people, again, kind of like how I did here with the stats, I'm mainly looking at top 8, top 16. These events that people have been going to, the numbers are still high. You still got 400 to 500 players.
Right.
So if you're only honing in on those top 16, top 32 decks, you start to forget about these things. And it is possible before rotation of cons that you will see Megamorph come back. And I don't think it's a deck that you can ignore, because when it was there, it was terrible to play against. You felt like there was just no way to win.
Yeah. I mean, once they get set up and get going, especially late game, I mean, Between the command and all the recursion with Den Protector. I mean, yeah, they've got answers for everything. They've got a great late game.
Deathmist Raptor playing with the Den Protector.
Yep.
It was one of my favorite decks.
Yeah, I say you were playing Green White for a while. Are you still on it?
Yeah. I went and played it at Friday Night Magic on paper, and I really liked it.
Yeah, it's a cool deck. Did you deal with any good hate cards, any good tough matchups?
Not really. I think I went 3-1. The one game I lost, it was just like bad hands, you know, probably bad keeps on my part. And it was the first round I was playing with it, really.
A little dusty.
Yeah, you know, knocking some rust off the old joints. But it's a good, solid deck. If they don't have the answers, it's just going to run them over. Because you just have that incursion.
Yeah, so, I mean, the one thing, too, to keep in mind on this, when we're looking at big event results versus local tournaments, is you see local tournament metas shift a lot slower than big events. Pros are looking at what's going on in big tournaments. They're adjusting based off of that, whereas local players don't always check or follow up with this stuff. So when you're preparing for upcoming standard events, keep that in mind. Like, don't base it too much off of your local meta, because they're probably a few steps behind. But all right, let's keep banging out on this list here, because what's going on with Jeskai Black?
Jeskai Black. So again, Jeskai Black was another one of those decks that skyrocketed to the top of, this is one of the best decks out there. I mean, we saw it in half of the top eights.
Yeah. Yeah, it was everywhere.
Dominating top 16s. I think there was one time there was like 9 out of 16.
Sounds right.
You saw Jeskai Black. And it was funny because that's when we were starting to talk about Jace, because the Jeskai Black deck list is the most expensive standard deck since the old Jace the Mind Sculptor and Stoneforge Mystic standard deck back in Zendikar.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And though it's not being seen in top eight, it's not a deck to ignore. At GP Kobe out in Japan, it represented 8% of the decks that made day two. It was the third most common one behind Abzan and Esper Dragons. And we'll talk about Esper Dragons later, because that's coming back.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that we're seeing this a lot, this standard, where we're seeing flash in the pan decks, where they come out, they make a huge impression, they dominate the meta for a few weeks, and then they kind of retreat back to top 16, top 32 performances. I mean, is this because they're being answered, or is this because, I mean, what's going on? Why is the meta shifting so fast?
I think it's just because it is being answered. Magic, it is at its, I would say, its peak, and still going up for play and performance, and that, and people are always trying to figure out how to beat the next big thing.
Right.
And with that, so with the Jeskai Blacklist, it was a very good tempo deck, tempo aggro deck. And so you either need to go full aggro, which is like the Abzan aggro list, or almost control-y with it.
Right.
Esper Dragons, which is why I believe those two decks were the ones that were above it.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, they're both kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, because it is kind of like a mid-range deck. So Abzan's getting under it, Control's getting on top of it. I mean, it's definitely interesting to see Esper Dragons pop up, because I think everyone pretty much thought that that was done.
Yeah, they thought it was like, there's really no way for Control, and everyone was giving some certain players who always stay on Esper a little bit of grief about it. But
yeah.
I mean, he was right. You got to stick with it. It's a great deck.
Yeah, so, I mean, the decks, though, I think the interesting thing looking at standard decks right now is that we are in a season right now of full-on mid-range pile of good cards decks. I mean, it's not the Theros standard where you had very strong theme decks like Mono Blue Devotion. There was pretty much no wiggle room in that list.
Right.
They have changed the one drops a little bit, and that was as fancy as anybody got. Whereas you're looking at lists now where, like, there's some synergies. There's some good cards playing together. For the most part, they're just good cards piled together. So, I mean, I think that's why we're seeing so much fluidity in these decks, is that you can change these pieces pretty easily. I mean, Hangerback Walker was popping up in everything. Now he's kind of dying down a little bit. Is he still showing up in all of these lists? I mean, what's his role?
His performance showing is actually dwindling, because I did go through a lot of the lists to figure out, you know, what's different from what used to be ran. And Hangerback Walker, I was really surprised to see missing in quite a few of them.
I mean, he's another one of those ones where we have a lot of exile threat. Like, we have a lot of things to exile him with. People were using, like, silk wraps and stuff like that to get rid of him. I mean,
Stasis Snare.
They
pushed the... Because remember, originally when he came out, you didn't see a lot of the exile effects.
Yeah.
Then people realized Hangerback is a thing, and if I let it do its thing, it's going to kill me. So then they went with the exile effects, and... so it just kind of killed
it. Yeah, it kind of backs off of it. I mean, you look at like Den Protectors and Deathmiss Raptors. I mean, there's a lot of good things that are worth exiling right now in Standard, so it makes sense that Answers would shift to these exiling threats. Excuse me. Even though like Silkwrap has conditions on it, it's not as good as a general destroy all. What about Ruinous Path? Is this showing up in deck lists?
I have not seen Ruinous Path. A couple of Esper lists that are in top 32, the lower portions are still doing it because the Awaken mechanic is a good mechanic for your control decks.
Yeah.
Late game, you have that removal, you have the extra mana. You know what? Let's go ahead and turn this land into a creature.
Yeah, so I mean that one's pretty interesting to see. Like that was the new Hero's Downfall, and I mean Hero's Downfall was a 2-4 of in most decks. So to see Ruinous Path not show up very much is pretty telling that people just don't want that at sorcery speed. And then that destroys just not that great anymore. With between all of the cards we've mentioned, if you don't exile it, it is still going to have a pretty big impact on the game. So I mean going down this some more, like. So we're seeing a lot of things being pushed out of top eights. You've mentioned that Abzan is back and then Esper Dragons. Are these the two like most seemingly dominant decks right now?
Atarka Red
is
back with a vengeance and it's doing great. It really didn't fade away too much, but one deck surprising to come back is Rally. Rally is making a good resurgence. And one of the stats I pulled up was in November, out of 32 top eight spots, this includes opens and GPs, Atarka Red, Esper Dragons, and Four Color Rally saw 19 out of those 32 top eight spots.
Wow, yeah.
It's a pretty prominent number right there.
Right. And I mean, again, though, talking about the variants and decks that they played, the route they took to get there, but how much more of them were there in top 16, top 32, top 64? Sadly, they don't post all those stats. Generally, yeah. You can get day two meta breakdown for GPs. They give you the percentage breakdowns, and Star City does a decent job at putting up top 16 or top 32, but they really don't expound beyond that, and I don't blame them. It's a lot of work to put up deck lists.
Yeah, yeah. Taking care of all these deck lists is pretty rough. So, I mean, these results are pretty interesting. I mean, so for Atarka Red, are we still seeing, like, how is Landfall coming into this? Do we still have the Landfall version? Is it mostly Landfall?
No, there is still Red-Green Landfall. That is still its own deck. But your main Atarka Red is your hyper aggro deck, which is also abusing the Become Immense to Mer-Battle Rage combo, if you will.
Yeah. Pretty much instant kill.
Yeah, that's house. I've seen it a couple of times on Magic Online. And there's other creatures, too, that they're working that in with. There's a 5-1 Hexproof Elemental out there that I got crushed by in a game. And he did the exact same combo. But...
Yeah, I mean, Atarka Red, it's an explosive deck, and I mean, there's probably, three or four versions of this running around. I mean, Jerry was just talking about it recently, that he thinks that's going to be his pick for the Invitational in Vegas. And I mean, it's a fast, explosive deck, and it's definitely, like, whenever you have the presence of a deck like that, it warps the format, because you have to be able to answer this deck, you have to be able to deal with it. So I'm sure that a lot of the shifts that we're seeing are because of that as well. So I mean, going through this Esper Dragons, I mean, is this list pretty much similar to the old Esper Dragons? Or?
It is. It's got more targeted removal.
Okay.
Makes sense. And the exile effects are there. I'm going to take care of it. Stasis Snare, that's a huge thing. I've run into it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
But outside of that, it's pretty much the Esper Dragons list that we saw before.
Okay, so the removal's tooled up a little bit. Still winning, obviously, with the namesake dragons. Still playing Salumgar Scorn and things like that?
I believe so. I'm not 100% on that.
Okay. I mean, that was one of the big draws to it, so I'd be surprised if they moved away from it. So, yeah. So, I mean, looking at these lists, like, Four Color Rally is definitely an exciting one. That's still the Nantuko Husk combo deal.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, between the Flip Walkers and everything, you get a lot of value. I know Alex had a short period playing that deck, and he seemed to like it. But I mean, it's interesting seeing these shifts. I mean, Esper Dragons is a deck that I wouldn't have really thought would be making a comeback. I mean, it's not a bad deck. There's nothing wrong with it, but it never felt like, I mean, I don't know. I'm just surprised to see it coming back, but it's interesting to see these meta shifts. I mean, if we're looking at 19 of the 32 of the top eight spots went to Atarka Red, Esper Dragons, and Four Color Rally, I would have not guessed that a month ago.
No.
That's pretty interesting. I mean, we saw so much talk about Jeskai Black and so much talk about Abzan that's always around. It's interesting to see those being pushed out of the top spots, especially by these decks. I mean, I think you're dead on with, like, Four Color Rally seems to be a good answer to Abzan aggro. You're going slightly over them. You're not slow enough that you're not giving them tons of time to beat up on you before you can really get going. And then once you get the combo going, you can kind of overpower them and brute force them out of the game. Tarka Red makes perfect sense getting in under Jeskai Black. I mean,
so explosive.
Yeah, and I mean, Jeskai Black is abusing Jace, but I know Four Color Rally is also running Jace, and then they're also running, you know, the Flip Lily. So, I mean, there's a lot of cool interactions there. I know Alex was saying, I mean, with Rally, you can rally at instant speed to get Jaces and Lilies into play and flip them at the end of turn because they have haste, and then they remain on the battlefield. I mean, there's some crazy interactions in that deck. So it would make sense that it could kind of outpower Jeskai Black. So, I mean, I think really, though, what you should be on the lookout for upcoming events is there's going to be a lot of sideboard hate for Tarka Red, Esper Dragons, and Four Color Rally. I mean, that's just, if you're on one of these three decks, you might want to look towards new tech to answer possible answers, or just be aware that you're probably going to be playing through a lot of hate, because I would imagine we're going to see a swing back towards probably Abzan would probably be great in the next upcoming tournaments with that color combination. You've got a lot of sideboard options. But yeah, I mean, this is it's pretty telling. These are three decks I wouldn't have expected to see.
Yep. And then the big deck that I really want to talk about, Temur Black.
Yeah, so let's talk Temur Black.
Yeah, this popped up a couple weeks ago in a top eight. It top eighted again in the most recent standard event. And it has everything that I enjoy as a mid-range player. And with that black, it gives you the answers to stay in longer against the quick game for a Tarka, and just to help out against tokens and things like that, so you can fight through Gideons because it runs Virulent Plague in the side.
Oh, wow, so, nice. Yeah. Oh, man, that's the tokens get minus one.
Minus two.
Is it black and two colorless? Is that what it goes? That's awesome, because that's a card that I was kind of surprised we didn't see more of, so that's cool to see that coming back.
The greatest thing to do is to murderous cut someone's hanger back walker that they've ticked up to five, and they're like, yeah, I got five dudes, and then next turn followed up with a Virulent Plague.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But a good thing about this deck, so with it being four colors, it is, from what I've learned, and we talked about it whenever Standard came out and that we had the Tango, or the Battlelands, is that fetching is so much more intense.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I feel like I've gotten lazy with my thought process with Modern, because it's like, I just need to get Breeding Pool, or I need to get Overgrown Tomb. No, you really need to think through, because I've missed out on opportunities to play a 6/6 with Vigilance and Trample on turn three. That being Woodland Wanderer. He's a four drop with Converge, comes out as a 2/2, gets +1/+1 for each color used to cast him. And if you're able to turn two your Rattleclaw Mystic and you have your land set up, you can have all of your colors on the board on turn three, and then cast them for a 6/6. And it immediately stops a Tarka because they know they have to be on defense.
Right.
And then if you can follow it up with another one, that's fine. Another thing with this deck too, is it runs Snapping Gnarled, the 2/2 landfall green creature.
Okay.
And with all the fetches in this deck, there are 14 or 15 fetch lands in this deck. So 14 or 15 opportunities that you're swinging with a 4/4 every turn with that Snapping Gnarled.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I mean, that's when, if you factor it in, like if you assumed it was a 4/4 all the time, which obviously it won't be, but most of the time it sounds like it can be, like that's on a power swing with Modern when you're looking at, what, he's a 2-drop?
He's a 2-drop.
2-drop 4/4. I mean, yeah, that's pretty powerful. So that's awesome to see that that's seeing some play. What was the name of the Converge one?
The Converge was Woodland Wanderer.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like, they did pretty good. I was giving some flack to Wizards for the design of this set. I know a lot of people are calling it Battle for Bulk because there are a lot of bulk rares in this set. But the Converge mechanic is definitely interesting. And it's funny that they had enough foresight to see that between the fetch lands and the battle lands, or the tango lands, whatever you want to call them, four color is very prominent. It's very doable. And we're seeing some pretty decent use out of some of these Converge cards. So that's really cool.
Yeah, there are so many four color decks out there. And not only that, but like we talked in the last segment too, these Converge cards are using Converge cards, because Bring to Light's Converge also.
Yeah.
Is making its way into Modern too, with Bring to Light.
Yeah, and I mean, like, it's, the mana base is pretty good right now. And I mean, that's what leads to a standard where we have all of these decks that are essentially piles of good cards. Like, one, it's the fact that the power level between the good cards and the bad cards in Saren right now is huge. But beyond that, I mean, when you have easy accessibility to four colors, there's not much reason to not play four colors. There's no Blood Moon in Standard.
Right.
So you get off the line on that one, too. You don't even really have to worry about anyone messing with your mana too much. So
what that Wizards, no Blood Moon, no Choke, no Boil, none of that crap in Standard.
Please. It wouldn't have been a bad time for Blood Moon in Standard. Maybe I'd be playing more. Playing some Blue Moon in Standard, that'd be great. But yeah, so I mean, like, looking at Standard, it's definitely, I mean, Teemer Black is another one that you're going to want to have answers for coming up. That's been a very powerful deck, and we've seen more and more of it recently. And I think it really is just pushing the standard of you can choose any three base colors and throw a fourth color on that and come up with a good deck.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think there's any reason why you couldn't.
No, you have your Wedgelands to help you out that we got way back in Cons. All the fetches then, the battle lands to get you where you need to be. You still have pain lands thanks to Origins.
Yeah.
So there's, it's all there. It's just, again, finding that pile of good cards to put together. And another note I want to put out with Woodland Wanderer, he's not legendary.
Yeah.
So you could turn three, turn four, turn five.
Make your opponent cry their way all the way home. Yeah. So, I mean, Rob, if you were getting ready for a big standard event, what would you be sleeving up?
Teemer Black, 100%.
All in on Teemer Black?
Yep. I'm 7-2 on Modo.
Nice.
And my two losses, one was to a red-green hyper aggro deck,
okay.
Similar along the lines of Uratarka Red.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
And the other one was, you know, we claim bad draws, but I'm sure I kept crappy hands.
Yeah.
Because I'm still learning the deck out, but yeah. That was it. The other times I've been able to win, I've beat Blue-White, I've beaten Rally, I've beaten Esper, I beat Abzan multiple times, and it made me feel great. Because he's like, Siege Rhino, okay, 6/6 Woodland Wanderer.
Woodland Wanderer, haha.
Oh, yours has Trample 2 and Vigilance.
And it's bigger.
Yep, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I've been joking about Standard for a long time, calling it brick fighting, because you're basically just picking up bricks and swinging them at each other. Because that's what it feels like with these big creatures, and I mean, that's the epitome of it. But
yep.
Teemer Black, I mean, I'm really interested in this list, because this sounds like a deck where if you can be fast enough to answer the aggro decks, but also have the ability to grind out the late game with these other decks, like, that's awesome. You can't really beat that.
Right.
So, I mean, it sounds like a really good versatile deck. I mean, something that can be explosive where they can sit on the back foot and kind of answer things and move on through the game. So that's really cool. What do you see going on with Standard? I mean, what would you expect to see a lot of? Mostly just a Tarka, kind of the usual suspects, or any big shifts you see coming?
Jeez, it's so difficult just because of the ripples that we've seen so quickly.
Yeah.
Just in the past 4 weeks, how much it's gone from your Megamorph list, your Jeskai Black, and that, and now we're on Esper Dragon's four-color rally, Atarka Red. It's probably going to shift back as they hate each other out in different ways.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there could always be a new deck that pops up.
Yep. So, I mean, really, I think that any deck you're looking at, you're going to need to have some way to answer the fast decks, some way to grind out the later games. A lot of these decks do have it. I know Jeskai Black has ways to do that with Ojedai's commands and things like that, Recursion. A lot of graveyard play in Standard right now, which is pretty interesting to see. But the craziest thing, I mean, now we've pretty much wrapped up here on what we're looking at currently for Standard, but I think it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of Oath of the Gatewatch.
Yes.
Mainly, are we getting fetch lands? Because these are rotating, right? The cons fetches?
No, not yet. That's not going to rotate until the spring.
Okay,
whenever we return to Innistrad or Shadows over Innistrad. And that's when we lose the cons fetches. And that's where we could see the Zendikar fetches, which everyone wants to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting because I don't know how good these battle lands are. I mean, we could be going back to a time where mana's not as good, which
right.
I'm kind of ready for, to be honest, in Standard. It would be interesting to see, like, a back to the day where you can't, I mean, back to no fetch lands in Standard. They haven't even been here that long, but it feels like a given now that you're going to have good mana in every format, so.
Yeah, trying to think back to where you only had the Scry lands and Shock lands. It's like, how was that?
I know, that seems forever ago, yeah. But, and I mean, it was fine then, so we could go back to it, but you just see, yeah, less reliance on getting those colors. You definitely didn't see any four-color decks, that's for sure. So, yeah, so it'd be cool to kind of go back to that time. I mean, I really hope we do see, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with some of these cards as we move through, like, this new extra rotation, too, because I don't know what's going to happen to, like, Gideon and Jace. I mean, those are probably going to be high-value cards their entire time in Standard.
Right.
But what if we see more cards printed similar along those lines? Are they going to be shifted out by better cards? I mean, it's just going to be cool to see what happens in Standard coming up. Because I think right now we're in a really interesting time with Standard where decks just come in and out of the format. I'll hear a lot about a deck 1 week, and I won't hear about it for about a month, and then it'll make a recursion and come back. So
That was the thing with Abzan after the Philly Open. It really didn't do much of anything. I don't know if everyone just brought all the hate back in for it or what. And it's like, oh, we let Abzan slip back up.
Time to beat it back out of the format. Yeah. Yep. So, I mean, that's kind of wrapping up our views on Standard here and what we're looking at for Standard. We're definitely going to put some more effort to get in more Standard talk as we move forward. I think it's funny because looking out at the gauge of the interest of the community in general, I've seen a lot of other podcasts that have backed off of Standard talk and less posts about Standard. I mean, I think the price is probably the biggest issue for a lot of players right now. But there's also, you know, when you match that price with the fact that your deck may be top performer 1 week and then bottom of the barrel the next week, that also is not a great incentive to jump into the format. But yeah, so I mean, we'll keep an eye on that, keep an eye on the pulse of Standard and what's going on with that. So as we move towards the end of this cast here, we want to announce we are going to be doing like a Christmas giveaway. We've decided that we're not going to announce what prizes we're doing. We've got some stuff floating around from some previous giveaways. We've got some new stuff that we've got coming in. And we're still coming up with ideas of some more stuff to throw into, you know, sort of the goodie bag, so to speak. So all we are asking is just hop on our Facebook page. That's www.facebook.com/TheSnapcastMTG. MTG. Nailed it. I was hoping someone remembered it. Went on the line there and it worked. But if you head out to that Facebook page and just comment publicly, open on our wall, Merry Christmas, Joyous Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, you know, whatever.
Boxing Day for the British that listen.
Yeah, sure. Happy Boxing Day. Happy, you know, Thanksgiving if you want. You're a bit late, but that's fine. Just any uplifting happy holiday greeting. So for anyone on MTG Cast, make our way over to the Facebook page. If you haven't added it, add it. That'd be nice too. And what we're going to do is we're going to cut that off on Friday the 18th at midnight. So at the end of Friday going into Saturday, we're going to draw the line on that. We're going to grab a few depending on, you know, participation and who hops on there. I know it's kind of a busy time of the year, so I'm not sure if we're going to see a reduce in listeners as we come into the holidays. But hop on there, shout something to us. We're going to pick a few of them. We're going to send some prizes out, probably up to five, depending on, like I said, who all participates. But yeah, so we'll get some information from you that weekend and we'll ship those out for the holidays. Other than that, you guys got any other announcements before we get out of this?
Yeah. How's the poll doing? Well, we've started putting videos up.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we have modern videos going up. We have standard videos that are going to be going up. So be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube page so then you can stay up to date on those. And also, we're going to be posting them on our, not just the website, but also on the Facebook page as well. So you can have multiple avenues to get to the videos. Let us know all the misplays that we make.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come hang out, watch some games, give us some feedback on those. I think it would be nice to eventually push towards like live streaming through Twitch. Right now, I don't know how many people are interested in that. I know Rob streams in the middle of the night, so that might be tricky.
2 to 4 a.m., please stay up with me.
So if you're in during that hot rush hour period of 2 to 4 a.m., just hanging out, you want to watch some modern, let us know, man. We can start live streaming that stuff. But for right now, we're just posting videos. I know we're going to do some more standard coverage in there. Chris, we were just talking about during, you know, the break, about getting some burn on there from Chris, and I've been playing some more Infect. So yeah, definitely give us some feedback on that. Let us know what you want to see. Let us know what type of commentary you want and everything, and we'll make sure that we take care of that for you. Anything else, guys?
Oh, that's it.
All right, cool. Well, that is going to do it for us this week. We will talk to you next week. Bye.
Oh, snap.